You're with us on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a remembrance of a Western Wisconsin singer.
In the early 1960s, New York City's Queen of the Beatniks was a young woman from Chippewa Falls. Judy Henske wowed audiences for decades with her deep, soulful voice, sadly passing away in 2022 at age 85. Writer Patty C. looks back on Henske's talent and Western Wisconsin's influence on the singer.
One of Woody Allen's most famous film characters was an aspiring singer from Chippewa Falls, loosely based on his one-time girlfriend, Judy Henske. I watched Annie Hall at McDonnell High, Judy's alma mater. Our English teacher recorded this 1977 Best Picture winner from TV to show us in 1984. At 16, I was thrilled our town was even mentioned in a movie, no matter how it was depicted, a podunk place from which creatives had no choice but to escape. This is not the story of how a Chippewa girl became Annie Hall. Much more interesting is how Judy Henske became Queen of the Beatniks, a title given to her by a record producer who also worked with the Rolling Stones.
And there's a high-flying bird way up in the sky.
In the early 1960s, Judy sang in Greenwich Village coffee houses where a stew of artists and poets hung out. This beat generation rejected consumerism and embraced free thought, like the bold and bawdy 6-foot-tall rising star they came to see. She talked about this in 2021 as a guest on Al Ross's Spectrum West show on Wisconsin Public Radio.
I think I was a natural beatnik. If you were a beatnik, practically all you ever did was read.
Judy signed with Elektra Records in 1963 when she was 26 years old. That same year, she was lauded in Time and Newsweek. One reviewer wrote, "Standing head and shoulders above the new contenders is a 6-foot hollyhock who is blooming with talent, praiseworthy for her singing of blues, folk ballads, and popular songs, as well as for her freely improvised patter."
I said, "Wait in the water."
Anyone who heard her even once recognized she belonged on stage. Before she became queen, she sang in the choir at Notre Dame Church. A nun once put a hymnal on Judy's chest and stood on it to help her develop vocal power. When you hear her wailing rendition of this spiritual, first sung by enslaved people, you can feel that power.
God's gonna trouble the water. Oh, they must have been a baby's Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water.
She once told a reporter, "I was a belting person. I had a harder edge to what I was doing." Judy appeared in clubs where she opened for Lenny Bruce and Woody Allen.
I sang at the Village Gate, which was not a folk music club. It was much more a jazz club.
Judy never forgot her roots. In 1964, she turned down a recurring role on the Judy Garland Show after being asked to do a skit that made fun of Midwestern farmers. She remembered, "I told them this isn't funny. It doesn't have anything to do with being from a small town." In 2021, when Judy appeared on Spectrum West, no one knew it would be her final interview for a Wisconsin audience. Judy died 6 months later. Her obituary in the New York Times claimed her voice conjured Billie Holiday and foreshadowed Janis Joplin. Judy told Al,
"I don't want to talk about music. I want to talk about Chippewa."
And she pronounced it like the rest of us natives.
"I know you right up gonna miss me when I'm gone."
Writer Patty C. brought us that tribute to Judy Henske, a Chippewa Falls native and the crowned Queen of the Beatniks. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources estimates that the state has over 160 species of fish in its waters.
That isn't enough for Slinger Middle School language arts teacher David Tiefenthaler.
When he's not teaching seventh graders the finer points of grammar and spelling, you can find him casting a line in a local lake or river and seeing what bites.
Tiefenthaler is now on a quest to catch 1,000 different fish species in Wisconsin and beyond and record an educational video about each one.
The wider fishing community has taken notice, and now more than 30,000 people subscribe to his YouTube channel, and tens of millions of people have viewed his TikToks under the name T-Fish. Here's a listen.
The quest to catch 1,000 different fish species on video continues with my arch nemesis, the northern hogsucker. This sneaky sucker has eluded me in the past, but thanks to Josh, not today.
I talked to David Tiefenthaler about sharing his love for fishing and the progress he's making on that goal. All right, 1,000 fish species. That's a pretty big goal. What made you set the bar so high?
Well, I should start from when I got into fishing as an adult. There's a river near me, the Rock River, and I went fishing in Houstisford where it crosses like Highway 60. And I saw a fish I'd never seen before in my life, a buffalo. And I was like, this is a fish? This is something that's in Wisconsin? Because I was used to fishing for the typical things you'd find in a Wisconsin lake. And it just kind of got my mind racing. And I started looking it up and I found a poster that I believe the Wisconsin DNR put out where it has all the fishes of Wisconsin. And I'm saying that right. Plural for fish species is fishes.
I'm that's going with the, it. Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah, that's the English teacher in me. So I am saying that right. And there's over 170 different fish species in Wisconsin. So years and years ago, I made it a goal to catch 50 different fish species in Wisconsin. And I did that and I made videos about it because that's another hobby of mine. I like making videos. And after I accomplished that, I still made fishing videos, but I didn't really have like a clear direction for a long time. And so I came back to the goal of catching different fish species. And I was like, well, what's a big round number? So I went with 1,000. So that's just kind of how it got started. And I mean, I'm in the teens right now. I just started this quest in late May. So I'm guessing it should last me the rest of my lifetime.
And I'm not a math expert, but you said 170 or so species in Wisconsin. You're aiming for 1,000. The vision must be, therefore, you're going to do this outside of Wisconsin, too?
Yeah, I was looking at, you know, my future, and I'm losing my children. They're all growing up and moving away. I've got two in college now, and my youngest is a junior in high school. So I know, you know, in the future, I'll be able to go places and try and catch fish, and it'll give me an excuse to vacation in different areas because there might be unique fish species there. So yes, I will have to venture out of Wisconsin to continue the quest. So far I have not.
What is it about fishing that you love? Because some people love fishing and some people look at it and think, well, that looks kind of boring. What is it for you?
I have a mind that races and wanders, and it just clears everything. You're in the moment. You know, there's nothing else that's going through my mind other than just being on the water. And I've always had a connection to the water. I just love being on it. It's just, and it doesn't matter if I'm in the middle of the city, like in Milwaukee, fishing on the Milwaukee River, or if I'm, you know, way out in Canada, just being on the water, there's something about it that just calms my mind. And then also the pursuit of a fish, you know, it keeps me, all the extraneous things, all my worries, they fade away. It's something that I truly enjoy because of that.
Now, getting back to the 1,000 quest here, you'd hit that 50 in the past. Do those 50 count, or are you starting from zero again?
I'm starting from zero because when I looked at the old videos that I did in the past, a lot of times I just stumble across a fish and I wouldn't even know what it was. And so it was fun to catch those fish and then get help identifying them. But then when I look back, I was like, I should have a standard format for these videos. And so what I do now is the first minute or two of the video is just going over what this fish species is, how to catch it, what habitat it likes, what's the world record, if there is one for that fish. And then after that, it's me just out there trying to catch it. So I felt like my previous videos weren't really educational. It was just like, hey, Dave's fishing, come along. But now, and maybe that's the educator in me, I felt like if someone were to stumble across my video, it gives them a lot more help if they want to try to catch that fish as well. Also, there's so much history behind different fish species in Wisconsin, at least, that is fascinating.
All right. So your being a teacher influences how you do your fishing videos. Do your fishing quests influence your teaching? Are you able to bring those experiences into the classroom with you?
Yes and no. I know I could bore the tears, bore some kids to tears. You know, I've been teaching for a long time. And one of the things that they say that really helps is to like develop a relationship with the students. And I've never had a problem with that. But having a hobby is such a very easy way to connect with kids, to show them that you're interested in something outside of the school walls, because then they're way more likely to share their interests with you. And then they learn in turn that, you know, I'm a beginner at something. You know, every time I'm trying to catch a new fish species, I'm a beginner, just like they are whenever they're trying to write compound complex sentences. Who knows? You know, so it's a good way to show that, you know, we're all learning no matter what age.
We're talking about fishing and a quest to catch and document 1,000 fish species with Dave Tiefenthaler, a Slinger Middle School language arts teacher and obviously avid fisherman. Dave, what got you into wanting to do videos of your fishing and not just do them and share them, but it sounds like improve them over time?
Well, that's actually what I went to college for. I was at UW-Oshkosh, a radio, TV, film major. And when I graduated, I worked in radio for a year, realized I didn't really like that path. And then I went back and got my teaching degree, but I still had that itch to create. I love creating things. So when I started to get into fishing, I thought this would be cool to document this on video. And so it's like a combination of things. It's one of my interests, something I had a background in, like I've learned how to video edit before. And so I enjoy the editing of the video just as much as the fishing. One thing that's happened too, because of me chasing different fish species, I've met a lot of people that like to catch these unique fish species. So it's almost it's become kind of a community activity too. It's kind of crazy in a way.
I was going to ask, how much are you catching and releasing versus cooking them up?
I would say half and half. The fish species that are stocked, like salmon in the Great Lakes, if I can catch them before they make their spawning run, I'll keep those because I find salmon delicious. But I'm not great at filleting fish yet, so I kind of have if it's 12 inches or smaller, I typically let it go. If it's bigger than that, and I know there's enough of them in the area, like I practice selective harvest, I'll keep them. But for instance, it's interesting when you hear of different people catching and keeping fish or catching and releasing them. I really like eating catfish, but a lot of people are like, oh, that's a bottom feeder. That doesn't taste good. Well, in my experience, they're good. Another one that is a game fish that most people release, largemouth bass. I like eating largemouth bass. So if I catch ones that are legal limit, I'll keep a couple of those too. So it all depends, but I'd say about half of the times I go fishing, I'll keep a fish to eat.
And then when you start questing beyond Wisconsin, you're doing some research, I assume. What is a fish you really want to catch out there in the world?
I know this is a typical thing, but tarpon. I would love to catch a tarpon in Florida. I've had a situation before where I was on a vacation in Florida. I caught a small fish and I threw it out as bait, and a tarpon broke my rod in half. So I did not land that fish. So that's one that I feel like I have some unfinished business.
There's a little revenge needed there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one I have had an encounter with, but have not landed. I would like to land. That would be a one that I definitely have circled.
Dave, good luck on the quest, and thanks so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
Dave Tiefenthaler is an English language arts teacher at Slinger Middle School. He joined us to share his love for fishing and his mission to catch and record educational videos of 1,000 different fish species. You can follow his progress on his TikTok or YouTube channel, T-Fish. Find a link to those over at WPR.org.